Hey, you're listening to the Casper Faith Podcast, where you can catch up on and re-listen to encouraging messages shared by the staff here at the church. Thank you so much for joining us. We hope these words inspire you, challenge you, and expose you to God's love in a meaningful way. Enjoy the message.
There was a poll that was conducted among 2,200 adults about Christmas song lyrics. And you'd be surprised at some of the most commonly misunderstood lyrics. For example, "Hark, the herald angels sing." Instead of realizing there was a group of angels who were heralding the coming of the king, they thought there was just one angel named Herald. "Hark, the herald angel sings." All right? Another misconstrued lyric was the holiday classic, "Grandma Got Ran Over by a Reindeer." All right? In this song, instead of Grandma walking from our house on Christmas Eve, she got ran over as she was walking from the outhouse on Christmas Eve. You know, if that was the case, that means getting run over by a reindeer really stinks, okay? Dad joke, I know. On the song, "All I Want for Christmas," the correct version says, "Take back the holly and the mistletoe." The incorrect version was, "Take back the Harley and the mistletoe." Wait until till Memorial Day. Then you get the Harley out. You know, it's especially in Wyoming, you know. "Rudolph the Red-Nosed Reindeer," instead of "all of the other reindeer," people thought it was "Olive the other reindeer." Okay? I didn't know there was another, you know, there was 9 reindeer, Dasher, Dancer, Prancer, Vixen, la, 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 Rudolph, and Olive. By the way, Rudolph has the red nose, Olive has the green nose, and Popeye the reindeer likes spinach more than carrots, okay? Just wanted to clear that up for you. Last of all, "Joy to the World." The correct version is "Make the Nations Prove," but people thought it was "Make the Nations Prudes." Today, we're starting a series called The Carols of Christmas, where we're going to be looking at some of the common Christmas carols that we sing, but maybe take a little bit deeper meaning at what they say, because sometimes we can sing the song, but we really don't think about what we're saying, especially the Christmas carols. Why? Because we know them so well, because we sing them every year, year after year. You hear them on the radio over and over and over, and we just begin to mouth them, but they have some rich theology and deep meaning that can enrich our lives if we listen and apply the messages that they are speaking to our lives. Today, we're going to talk about "Joy to the World," and no, we're not trying to make the nations prudes, okay? We want the nations to prove the wonders of His love and the glory of His righteousness. How many of you, and I asked this question earlier after we had the message, the gift in tongues and interpretation, but I asked, how many of you want a joyful life? I want to ask that again. How many want a joyful life? Honestly, raise your hand. I think almost everybody would say, yes, I want a joyful life. So here's the question. How do we obtain joy? Joy really is, you know, how do we get there? Does it just happen? Here's the thing. If you're taking notes this morning, and by the way, I encourage you, if you have YouVersion, you can use YouVersion. It's a free Bible app. Our notes are on there. But point number one, if you want joy in your life, this is the key component you have to realize. The source of joy is Jesus. Okay? The source of joy is Jesus. Jesus, God, is where joy comes from. You cannot have joy apart from God, not genuine joy, not meaningful, lasting joy. That comes from Jesus. The opening line of the carol says, "Joy to the world." The next phrase describes why we should have joy. It says, "Because the Lord has come." And here's the thing. When Christ comes into your life, you have joy. When Christ comes in, you have joy. If He doesn't come in, you do not have joy, because Jesus is the source of joy. Joy is not discovered through anything material. It's not discovered through anything material. Some people search for joy in their position, in their rank in life, how well they're doing. It starts a lot of times when we're in school. We want a certain title like starting quarterback, lead actor in the school play, soloist in the choir, valedictorian. There's these different titles that give us kind of rank, that give us prestige. And if we have these titles, then that means we're important, we're respected, we're liked, we're honored. And that can continue when we get out of school. I want the next position. I want, you know, manager, supervisor, vice president, CEO. We've got these things, these different titles. Some people get joy by their rank and how people view them in life. And they base their importance on their title, and they get their joy the more titles, or the higher the title, they obtain. But friends, your title does not give you joy. Your title, your position does not give you joy. Some people search for joy in their possessions. How much can I acquire? How much money can I make? If I have the latest fashions, then I'll be happy. If I get a new vehicle, then I'll have joy. If I have a nicer, larger home, if I have more stuff, then I will be joyful. I'll be happy. I'll be fulfilled. But friends, life consists more than the abundance of possessions that we have. You do not have joy by your wealth, by your money, by your possessions. Some people think that joy comes from people, who I'm acquainted with, who likes me, or what relationship am I in. If I have a cute boyfriend or a hot girlfriend, then I'm going to have joy. If I find Mr. Right or Miss Wonderful, then I've got joy. If I'm popular, if everybody likes me, then I have joy. But friends, joy does not come from relationships. Some people think that joy comes if my life is peaceful and problem-free. You know, I don't want necessarily a new car. I just want a car that runs well and works good. I don't need the largest house. I just need a nice house. I don't need a ton of money. I just don't want to be in lack. I want to have a little extra so I can do some things. I want my health to be good, my family to be good. If everything's great, if my life is peaceful and problem-free, I'm good. I've got joy. Yeah. But here's the thing. Joy does not come from anything material. Joy is not found in the perfection of your outward circumstances. Where life lines up with all of your wishes and desires, and you have no worries and no problems. We see this taught in Scripture when the prophet Habakkuk talks about this. The nation of Judah was an agriculturally based economy, and they were going through an agricultural crisis. Habakkuk chapter 3, verse 17 and 19. I want you to think about this. If you're a farmer, if you're in agriculture, it says, though the fig tree may not blossom, nor fruit be on the vines, though the labor of the olive may fail, and the fields yield no food, though the flock may be cut off from the fold, and there be no herds in the stalls. Okay, how many know that doesn't sound real good if you're a farmer? You have no crops, your plants aren't producing, you have no animals, I mean, basically you're bankrupt, you have nothing, yet, verse 18, I will rejoice in the Lord, I will joy in the God of my salvation. That's where joy comes from. It comes from the fact that God is with you, that God loves you, that God died for you, and He offers us salvation through Jesus Christ. Joy comes through Jesus. We have joy. God is the source of our joy. Habakkuk says, you want a problem-free, peaceful life? You're not going to find it here. But hey, you can still have joy even though your entire world is falling apart. Because joy is separate from your happenings. Joy is separate. Joy is based on having a relationship with God. In Psalm 5:11, it says, let all those who rejoice, who? And what does it say? Who have a big bank account? No. Those who have success in their career or their business or their health is perfect, their family's fine? No. Let all those rejoice who put their trust in you. Let them ever shout for joy because you defend them. Let those also who love your name be joyful in you. Friends, when you put your trust in Jesus, when you love God and have a relationship with Him, you can have joy. That is the basis of joy. And if we think we're going to have joy from all these other material things, we are sadly disillusioned, because there are many people out there today who have plenty of money, plenty of title, plenty of power, plenty of relationships, plenty of whatever you could have, and yet they are miserable. Why? Because joy comes from God being at the center of your life, and you're loving Him, you're trusting Him, you're being with Him. So the very first thing we need to understand on a journey to joy is that the source of joy is Jesus. It comes from God. Number two this morning, the second observation about joy is that joy is unlocked by crowning Christ King. Our joy is unlocked by crowning Christ as King. The carol says, "Joy to the world, the Lord has come. Let earth receive her King." You see, it's not enough to believe in God, to believe in Jesus. Jesus needs to be the King of your life. I want you to think of it like this. Your car is the source of transportation, okay? But if your car is locked, if you don't have the key, then it doesn't matter that you have a car. You're not going anywhere unless you have the key and it's unlocked and you can use it. And here's the thing, for a lot of Christians, Jesus is in their life. He's in their driveway. He's in their garage, but they don't have joy. It's not been unlocked because Christ isn't their King. When you make Jesus the one in charge of your life, then you can have joy. The reason for that is, what is joy? When you understand the meaning of joy, joy is not a happy feeling. Yay, yippee, skippy. That's not what joy is. This is what joy means. If you're taking notes, it means a calm delight full of cheer and gladness. Someone once said it's defined as the deep down assurance that Christ is in control. Joy is the deep down assurance, the calm delight that God is in control. Because if Christ is in control, you don't have to worry. You can be assured that God has everything in His hands and He's working all things together for what? For good. Yeah, not for bad, but for good. It's only when you haven't surrendered to God and to His ways, that's when life is chaos. When we're saying, I'm going to do this on my own, I'm not going to surrender to what you want, God, I'm not going to yield to what you want, that's when we invite unrest, anxiety, fear, worry, frustration, anger, whatever it is. When we try to call the shots, we do not have joy, this deep down assurance that God has everything in control. You see, it's not just knowing Jesus, it's having Jesus be your leader. When the wise men came looking for Jesus, they said, hey, where's the King of the Jews? Where's the King? And that needs to be the question for us if we want joy in our lives. Where is the King? If we find ourselves saying, here's the King, I'm the King, I'm the one in charge, we're not going to have joy. But if we say, Jesus, you live in me, and I'm putting you in charge of my life, then we find joy. You say, what does that mean? Well, I'm going to throw out a series of questions here. And these are kind of questions to discern if Jesus is really leading our lives, if He is our King. The first question is, who directs my decisions? Who directs my decisions? Does God and His Word, His principles, the principles that are found in God's Word, is that the basis for my decisions, my basis for right and wrong, my basis for how I live my life, or is it my feelings? Do my feelings determine what I'm going to do, what I believe is right and wrong, how I'm going to live? That's the first question to ask. The second one is, who rules my relationships? In other words, Are my relationships governed by God's principles? Do I treat people with honor and respect, or do I use people for my own selfish purposes? Who's ruling in my relationships? My close relationships. You know, the Bible talks about evil company corrupts good habits. Are my close relationships, my bosom buddies, are they people that don't love God, that don't have a passion for the things of Christ? Or are they people that are like-minded and are going after Jesus? Who rules your relationships? Who manages my money is the next question. Who determines how you're going to spend your dollars? Do you honor the Lord with the first fruits of all of your wealth? Are you open and submissive when God prompts you, says, hey, I want you to help someone? Do you say, okay, God, whatever I have, if it's money, if it's a car, if it's a watch, if it's a purse, if it's a coat, you want me to give something? God, everything I have is yours. Everything belongs to you. It's really quiet in here, you know that? Another question is, who presides over my possessions? Who presides over my possessions? If God says, give your house, would you give your house? That's tough to do, isn't it? There is a pastor, his name is Robert Morris, pastor of Gateway Church in South Lake, Texas. He has given away 3 of his own cars at different points in his life because God said give him away. And the thing is, it's not like he had another nicer one, better one sitting in the garage. God said give it away. Here's the thing, you just probably don't graduate up to a car. It starts really small with you've got that coat or you've got a watch or you've got a toy or something like that for kids because God can speak to kids. Give your toy away. When you listen to God in the little things, he'll graduate up. You say, but God, well, what if I don't have another one? You know what? That's his problem. God wants us to come to this place in our lives that we're not trying to hold and control and look out for ourselves, because if we have to look out for ourselves, then we're not letting God look out for ourselves. And God can take better care of us than we can take care of us. It's a matter of trusting him and letting him be the king of our lives. How about your health? Who heads up your health? Can you trust God with the health issues that you encounter? Now, I'm not saying that you ignore your health and you just eat a box of Twinkies and down, you know, 2 6-packs of Dr. Pepper a day and say, God's in charge of my... No, there's stewardship here. We've got to be good stewards. But when life hits you with something, can you trust God and say, God, you're in control of my health? When we look at these different areas, all these different areas, we can say, God, I'm trusting you. You're in control. You're working all things together for good. We can have that calm delight, that deep down assurance that God is in control. We can have joy. Joy is unlocked by crowning Christ as King. In Philippians chapter 4, verses 4 to 6, the Apostle Paul said, rejoice in the Lord always. What's interesting is Paul wrote that when he was sitting in prison. He said, rejoice in the Lord always. Again, I will say, rejoice. Let your yieldedness be made known to all men. The Lord is at hand. The Lord is here, is near. Be anxious for nothing. If I am yielded to God, I can have joy. I don't have to be anxious because I'm letting him be in control of my life. So far we've seen the source of joy is Jesus, okay? Joy is unlocked by crowning Christ as our King, okay? The third thing this morning we want to see about joy is that joy can be blocked. Joy can be blocked in our line. As we look at the song, joy to the world, the Lord has come, let earth receive her King. The next line says, let every heart prepare him room. Let every heart prepare him room. When I think of that, what comes to mind is Joseph and Mary traveling from Nazareth to Bethlehem. And they come to the inn, and it tells us in the Bible, there was no room for them in the inn. You know, Jesus was born in a manger. Luke chapter 2, verse 7. Mary brought forth her firstborn son, wrapped him in swaddling clothes, and laid him in a manger because there was no room for them in the inn. Friends, here's the Savior of the world, the King of Kings, the very Son of God, and the innkeeper did not experience the joy of Jesus coming into his home. Why was that? Because there was no room. If he wanted to have Jesus in his home, he would have had to do one of two things. He would have had to remove some of the possessions from his house or some of the people who were in the house. Now, I know it's not a nice thing to kick out the people who are there, but if he really wanted Jesus, he needed to make room. He needed to remove people or things. And friends, I see that happening in our lives so much of the time. God gets kind of blocked out, gets crowded out by things and by people. In your notes today, we have two different areas, letter A, letter B. Letter A this morning, what blocks out Jesus? Priorities that are misplaced. Priorities that are misplaced. Sometimes we let people or things take center stage and clutter our lives. We have wrong priorities that sit on the throne. And they rule our time, our money, our emotions. And we can sometimes become so busy with life. And here's the thing, it might not be bad things, it's just good things. But we can get so busy and caught up in life, especially this time of year. Christmas parties, Christmas shopping, getting ready for family to come or getting ready to go to see family. A lot of different things. You're trying to get a lot of that year-end things done, and so you're working longer hours, and because you have so much to do, you know what we can do? I don't have time to read my Bible. I don't have time to pray. I don't have time to go to church. I've been working too much. I'm sleeping in this Sunday. Now, those who need to hear that are not here. They're sleeping in this Sunday, okay? You're here. You're hearing that. But we can get so busy and preoccupied with all the activity of life that there's no room for intimacy with God and connection with Him. Because joy is loving God. We have joy when we love Him. We have that relationship with Him. We're close. And we have misplaced priorities, whether by neglect of busyness or we're going after people or things in an inordinate way. And that's what we're focused on. That's our priority. Instead of putting God first, that can block joy in our lives. The second thing that can block joy, letter B, are the problems that monopolize our minds and emotional energy. Maybe some of our students, you're taking a class and you're having difficulty understanding it. Maybe you have a mountain of work at your work, your place of employment, or at school. I know for many of our college students, this week is crunch time. It's finals week, or maybe it's next week for some of you. And you've got papers due, you've got projects due, you've got end of the semester finals, and you're just feeling overwhelmed. You don't know how you're going to get it all done. Sometimes our problem is a person at work or a classmate at school. They're making life difficult for you. And you wish they weren't there. You wish you had another job, or you wish you were even a different school, or you were in a different grade, because you just can't stand being around the person. They're making life so tough. Sometimes our problems that consume us are a financial hardship, a health concern, or losing a loved one. Sometimes it's an uncertain future. It's a strained relationship or a family member that we see who's just in a downward spiral. All of these problems, no matter what they are, and that's just the tip of the iceberg. We could probably say a whole bunch of other things, but our problems sometimes can just consume us. They weigh on us, and they drain us of emotional energy, and as a result, we have no joy. Misplaced priorities and monopolizing problems are the things that can drop joy. Here's the thing. You can have joy even when you have problems. You say, I don't believe that. Well, that's what God says. He says it in His Word. So if you have a problem with it, you take it up with Him and call Him a liar, okay? Because this is what the Lord told James to share with the church. James chapter 1, verse 2 through 4, He says, my brothers, count it all joy when you fall into What is that? Not when you fall into a windfall, not when you fall into something great, but when you fall into various trials. How many know that's how a lot of times the trials happen? You kind of fall into them. You didn't plan for it. You didn't want, I mean, you're just going along in life and all of a sudden, kaboom, you fell in it. Where'd that come from? Man, I didn't see that coming. Thanks a lot, God. And we don't have joy. But he says, count it. Count it joy. Deliberately make the decision when you fall into a trial. I'm going to say that this is a point of joy in my life. You have to make a deliberate decision to choose joy and that you're going to trust God in the midst of this problem. That's where joy comes from. And he says, count it all joy when you fall into various problems, knowing the testing of your faith produces patience. This word, patience, it's really a remarkable word filled with so much meaning. It means cheerful endurance. In the Greek language, it's actually a compound word made up of two separate words. The first word, that word is hupomone, and hupo means under or beneath. It especially referred to an inferior position or condition. Meno means to abide, to stay, to continue, to remain. When you put it together, it means to stay under. And it's a reference to staying under the lordship of Jesus Christ. When you fall into whatever problem it is, stay under the lordship. Don't react. Don't blame God. Don't say, I got to figure this out on my own, and you exclude God. No, you pray, you seek God, you ask him for help. You stay under his lordship. You're trusting him. You're obeying him. And as you stay under, as you're patient, what takes place is that it's producing something in you that wasn't being produced before. It's making you, it's having a perfect work. It's making you more like Jesus. So when you have a problem, don't reject Christ in your trial. Continue in him. Continue pursuing him. Continue following him. Remain faithful in your commitment. Don't throw your faith away in this difficult time. Because the joy, the calm delight that you had when everything was going great can still remain if you're saying, Jesus, this is not my problem. This is your problem because I'm under your lordship and I'm trusting you to take care of me. Our theme for 2019 is what? We've said it enough. We've said it at least, probably 40 some times this year. What is our theme? Seek the King, see the kingdom. Friends, that applies to joy. When you seek the King, Jesus, you're my King, you're in charge, you're my Lord, you see the kingdom of God. And what is the kingdom of God? According to Romans 14, 17, the kingdom of God is righteousness, peace, and joy in the Holy Spirit. When you've set Jesus up as the King of your life and you fall into that various trial, you say, God, I'm not going to sin. I'm not going to quit. I'm not going to just go my own way and be rebellious. No, you're my King. The kingdom of righteousness is set up in you. You're going to have peace. The kingdom is set up in you. You're going to have joy as you're trusting Jesus. The kingdom is set up inside of you. When I was a kid, there was a song that we sang, and it was called Trust and Obey. The chorus went like this: Trust and obey, for there is no other way to be happy in Jesus but to trust and obey. Now, here's the thing. The word happy is never found in Scripture. Did you know that? You know why? Because happiness is based on your happenstance, on what's happening. Really, a better translation. The song got the word wrong. It should be, but to be joyful in Jesus, okay? They maybe got the word wrong, but they got the philosophy, the theology of joy correct. How do you be joyful in Jesus? Trust and obey. That's what it takes to be joyful. Jesus is your source. When you say, I am going to crown you the king, we unlock it. And when we stay under Jesus as our king in all of our priorities and in all of our problems, we experience that calm delight, that deep down assurance that God has everything in control. You're in God's hands this morning. I don't know what you're going through. God knows. He spoke about joy to us at the end of worship. He's speaking to us about joy right now. He wants you and I to have joy. How do you do it? It's through trust. Romans 15:13. May the God of hope fill you with all joy and peace in believing. You trust. And you obey Him. John 15:10-11. If you keep my commandments, you'll abide in love, just as I kept my Father's commandments and abide in His love. These things, what things? The commandments that you're supposed to obey, I have spoken to you. Why? That my joy may remain in you and your joy might be a quarter of a cup. No, that your joy might be full. If you trust Him and you obey Him, the world can't take your joy, and your joy is going to be full. I don't know about you, but I need full joy in my life.
We hope that you've enjoyed today's message, and thanks again for joining us on the Casper Faith Podcast.